Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Like that, we bring in the wonderful month of May. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? May already? I mean, just stop it. Can we put a big speed bump on it, kind of slow things down a little bit, get to know one another? I mean, you didn't ask, but I'll tell you, it feels like yesterday. It feels like maybe a week ago.
At the Jaguars, a goal line, third and one. Let's run that old 39 periwinkle. Let's run an off tackle, third tackle, eligible, you know, type of pass, because you can't man up and run the football. Third and one, fourth and one. Didn't that seem like yesterday? Didn't it seem like a week ago?
Long time ago. We're talking early January. Here it is, day one of May. It's just nuts. And what a month May is. Okay, Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, one of the, probably the only event, and I'll knock on wood here, that I've never been to that would be considered one of the phenomenal events that we have year in, year out, or even, you know, every couple of years, every 4 years. I've been to an Olympics in Atlanta, covered the United States Open when Tiger won by, what was it, 12, 13 strokes out at Pebble Beach in 2000. I've been to a Masters. I've been to national championship games and Super Bowls and World Series and the NBA and the NHL and all those big events, the Daytona 500. The Kentucky Derby's the one that I kept pushing back, right? You know how those people are, push everything back. But you kind of want to just yell at them if you had a little bit more authority. Usually those people are above you, though, right? Usually those always push everything off or are typically the decision makers, and you're kind of the pawn, right? Oh, we'll get to it. Yeah, I have it on my office next week. Yeah, we'll take a look at it then. Yeah, absolutely. Outside of maybe the kids who say, hey, I got to play this video game. Yeah, I'll get to that book report later. Maybe that I'll give you. But that was my deal for 7 years in Chicago. It's only like a four-hour drive. From Chicago to Louisville. And it was always next year, next year, next year, next year. And I never did it. So that's coming up on Saturday. We will advance in the NBA and NHL playoffs, okay? Round two is going to begin in this month. We'll also get into the semifinals later on this month, both on the hardwood as well as on the ice. Of course, Valhalla, our second of the four majors this year, golf-related. Can I say PGA Tour? It's not a PGA Tour event, right? It's a major. The Live guys, the very latest there, ratings plummeting. I mean, just really down. I'll tell you, last week with the 4 days out in New Orleans, with it being partner-type golf, I didn't even watch. I basically pay attention to them all until football gets underway, then I just don't have time. I didn't even watch. It's just not, I mean, I don't mind the Stableford scoring system. I don't mind, you know, match play here and there, but I'm a stroke play guy. That's what I enjoy most, but I didn't even watch it last week. Certainly Valhalla coming up in just a couple of weeks is going to be huge. And for you Jaguar fans, how about this? We're only 11 days away from rookie minicamp. It's going to begin on May 12th. You get it May 12th, May 13th. An opportunity to take a look at these young rookies, see what they have. Yeah, they'll be, for the most part, in helmets, T-shirts, and shorts. No hitting. But still, you get out there. And you get a feel for them as to whether or not they look the part, they don't look the part. Maybe they'll catch you by surprise as far as their overall appearance, right? The way they carry their weight, that first step. Wide receiver, in the case of, you know, looking and analyzing Brian Thomas Jr., his hands, getting an opportunity to see Jarian Jones, who could be your starting nickel. What does he look like as far as his hips and his ability to backpedal and everything else? Yeah, it's tough to gauge on the line. with Mason Smith, and it's tough to gauge on the line with those twosome, or I should say Smith and Jefferson coming out of LSU, and to look at the new offensive lineman, Javon Foster out of Missouri. Yeah, that's always harder, but still you get a taste, right? And, of course, during that workout, Jarvis Landry is going to be here. So we'll get that on the 12th and 13th, and then OTAs in the month of May. Media availability, my understanding, May 22nd, 23rd, 25th, the 30th, and the 31st. So we will have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 overall days in the month of May to watch Jaguar football over at the Miller Electric Center and, of course, be able to come right back here and talk to you about it. That is sensational. I love the offseason more than in-season. And the reason is, each and every one of those dates, when I come on the air here, we won't be talking about it as either a win or a loss. Instead, it will be, what do you believe? What do you think? How good can they be? Where are they compared to a year ago, etc.? That's why I've always loved the offseason. All right, it's great to have you with us. Just, you know, just a beautiful day in the city. No question about it. May 1st, and I got to tell you, it really is an incredible time if you are a sports fan. I've made the mistake over the years of trying to maybe force feed you things that you're really not interested in, like the National Hockey League. And I know that there are transplants like myself who love the game because, let's face it, nothing's better, especially once you get to playoff hockey overtime. And, you know, last night we saw it in Boston, Toronto, overtime winner. Boston last year up 3-1. They lost games 2, 5, and 7 at home to the Florida Panthers. Boston's up 3-1 this year. However, they've lost game 2. And now after last night, game 5 at home. All of a sudden, that series 3-2. Game 6 tomorrow night back out in Canada. If necessary, game 7 back in Boston. But between that and the NBA, it's been absolutely, I think, phenomenal in the first round. And in hockey, I think you can make the case right now that there are legitimately 7 or 8 teams that could win the Stanley Cup. Not as many on, you know, in the association. I think most would say, that is a little bit top heavy. And I guess the biggest deal there is just being able to keep guys healthy on respected, you know, on respected teams. If that can be the case, then that is going to be a good thing. But really enjoying that, enjoying, you know, what is going on right now in Major League Baseball, and as well, just really getting fired up for what it's going to be like in a couple of weeks once we get an opportunity to see Jaguar players out on the practice field. All right, a few things. First off, just a horrible story with Marcus Autzen. I mean, this is just terrible. Referred to as the Rooster, right? The age of 46. He did die, I believe it was late last night. Could have been earlier this morning, but I want to say it was late last night. And it's a rare disorder, which I don't know anything about. It's HLH. But Marcus Autzen is so fondly remembered as a guy who was put into immediate, you know, put into the most important position in all sports because of injuries, right? Dan Kendra out with a torn ACL, even though he would be a fullback. You had Patrick Kearney, who broke the neck of Chris Wenke, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's Marcus Autzen who's under center. That game was against Virginia. Marcus Autzen went out and beat Wake Forest. Marcus Autzen went out and beat the University of Florida, right? And then he was saddled with going out to Tempe, and I was there for that matchup against an incredibly talented Tennessee team. I mean, look at all the NFL players who moved on from that Philip Fulmer Tennessee team. It was the year after Peyton Manning, right? We all remember that. But it was Autzen, the third-string quarterback, who, you know, was asked to win that game. They did not. Tennessee beat them. They were clearly the better team. Autzen could not get the football to Peter Warrick. There was also some drops, some stupid penalties. I remember the 3-and-out early that Florida State defensively went out and got. and Pop Saunders came and blew up the punter. And instead of it being, you know, Florida State really good field position inside their inside Tennessee's 50, it was first down Vols because you had a 15-yard roughing the punter penalty. And Tennessee was the better team. But I do think that that's what the Rooster will always be remembered for. Put in the service, won two games. Huge win against Florida. I mean, that was a good Florida football team. Big win there, but just not being able to get it done against Tennessee. Man, 46 years of age. You've got to be kidding me. And just a sad day. So I know a lot of Noel fans with a heavy heart and kind of falling out. I don't really know much as to what has happened with Marcus Autzen over the last couple of decades. I just, you know, there's certain players you stay in contact with. For instance, yesterday I went back and forth with Jacksonville's own Andre Cooper, right? Going back, trying to get Big Foe on, Forrest Connolly, who does a little bit of work now on ESPN. And just, you know, they come up and they come back. Now Lawrence Stamper will be in here on Friday. You just have Knowles and have former players that you're always in contact with or occasionally in contact with. I just don't remember anything at all the last time I had an opportunity to talk or do anything with Marcus Autzen. But I feel bad. I do. I feel really bad. And, again, he is gone, unfortunately, at the age of 46. All right, we got so much to do here over the next couple of hours. I want to do a few things tonight draft-related that we didn't do on Monday and Tuesday. Okay, look back a little bit, also a look ahead. Still going to have draft coverage for you over the next three nights. John Osher is going to join me in 45 minutes. We'll talk to him exclusively about what the Jaguars did. That's coming up at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, got a couple of real good guests going to join us, including from LSU, to talk about what they did in this draft class out of Baton Rouge. And also, you know, is there an opportunity? Do you think that Jarvis Landry could possibly make this team? Where would you rank that percentage-wise? I'd have to put it 10%, 15%. Even if you get him for the league minimum, it's going to cost a little bit because he's, what, an 8-9-year veteran? He's 31 years of age. They need another wide receiver. That's what made the Zay Jones decision yesterday somewhat surprising. Now, shocking? No. I figured it would be post-June 1st. We went through the reasons why they did it now and not then. No rollover into next year as far as the dead money, but you would have been able to bring back nearly $4 million more if you wanted to use that to get the Trevor deal done or get something else done. But it really feels like something is happening here in Jacksonville. And I got to believe until that 90-man roster is set, by the time that training camp gets underway. Told you about the dates in May. You also have dates in June for OTAs. You have June 2nd, June 5 through 8. And then you have mandatory minicamp, June 12th, 13th, and 14th. And then you break. You get six and a half weeks off until training camp officially starts at some point in the 20s. I don't know, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, July. Whenever that does, in fact, get announced. Also, I should say in May next week, the schedule is supposed to be announced, right? We know the opponents. We know home and away. But, I mean, if you're a Jaguars fan, you got to wonder right now, are you playing in Greenland next year? Do you have a matchup that's set up for Turkey next year? Are you possibly playing a game out in Finland next year? I mean, you're going to get home and away again in London. I mean, why not? Hey, give it to the Jaguars. They love it. Give it to Mikey. Mikey will eat it, right? The Jaguars are Mikey. Just give them two games. Drop a game on Brazil. Send Jacksonville out to, send them out to Germany, right? So, yeah, you got to be like, you know, there used to be a time where it's like, hey, man, I got my season tickets. I'm going to take a road trip this year. Let's put things together. You know, you line it up with your college team, whether you're a Knoll or whether you're a Gator or a Dog or a Cane. You know, do they play home Saturday? What do they got on Sunday? You know, you match everything up. You line it up. And, you know, off week on Saturday, great week to travel. If you're a Jet, now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'll get to that. But, you know, how many games are going to be played internationally speaking for the Jaguars? So, yeah, you've got that. And I hate it. You've got that to be concerned with. And I just don't know when it's going to change. The only time it's going to change is if you have a mouthpiece who steps up and says, enough is enough. Right now, it kind of feels like Jacksonville likes the home in a way in London. Am I wrong? I mean, look at Zay Jones' going away letter today. Class act. Zay's like, goodbye, Duval, and all our fans overseas. I mean, who else has ever in their wildest of dreams has said goodbye to a local fan base, but then tags fans over? That's where you are. Someone's going to stand up and say, we've had it. There's only one person alive who wants to play in London, and that's Shad Khan. No one else does. No one else at all does. And if you haven't been following as to what is going on, have you noticed how asking for public cash is beginning to not disappear, but get knocked out right in the first round? You see what happened last week in Chicago? You see what was announced today in Cleveland? They want the public in Cleveland to pay half of the $2.4 billion for a brand new stadium, or they want them to fund $1 billion for upgrades to their current stadium. The folks in Cleveland are like, hell no. No. Times are tough. We talked about it 3 weeks ago in the state of Missouri, right? Kansas City, asking the taxpayers. We want $800 million so we can upgrade Arrowhead Stadium. We want $1.3 billion so we can build a brand new baseball stadium for the Kansas City Royals. Well, they voted on it. They got like 65,000 votes. 58 to 42 said, hell no. Hell no. I want my money. You can't take my money. Last week was the draft. Last week, Chicago sat number one in the draft. And what did officials do? What did local officials do, politicians do, along with ownership of the Chicago Bears on that week, announced that they want $2 billion. Public tax-paying money for a brand new set. Timing is everything. I mean, even the bozos in Chicago, one of the most for crying out loud, go back and read about it. The dead votes for Kennedy and all this other stuff that went on politically speaking, and they come out and ask for it on the week of the draft? I mean, just morons in Chicago. All three have said no. Missouri, Illinois, Ohio. What do you think is going to happen here when they come asking you? And by the way, I want it. I'm going to sell it. I want it. It's my livelihood. I want you to be around for it. But stand up and have a voice. If you want our tax money, screw London. I'm not losing a home game to London. People are petrified. No one's going to stand up because the boss wants it in London. And in this case, you're getting two in London. Good luck with that. And I'll tell you right now, there's no in-between for me. You want to tax my ass, I'll pay it. But I have a feeling so many of you are going to blow your mind on this. And I know every time I mention it, which is few and far between, the reactions that I get are incredibly negative. It's where we are. Public funding for these particular stadiums are waning. And look what happened. I mean, Oakland, oh, they're going to Vegas. Okay, they'll play in Sacramento next year. They want to get a new stadium there forever. Crying out loud, the Phoenix Coyotes moved to Utah. As a matter of fact, that same national championship game, that I went to Florida State and Tennessee out in Tempe at the old stadium there on the campus of Arizona State. I actually went to a Phoenix Coyotes hockey game. I think it was like on a Wednesday or Thursday night or whatever. I don't even know what night it was. The game might have been played on a Monday, the national title. But they're leaving. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. What do you mean you can't have it both ways, Baloo? Of course you can have it both ways. He owns the franchise. He can do whatever the heck he wants to do with this franchise. So, again, here I am telling you how great the month of May is. Yeah, there's going to be a little trepidation this month because that schedule coming out is not simply, you know, home games, away games. You already know you got the one game in London. There's been some talk out there that there's going to be a home and away again in London. I don't think I've seen anything that's been official with that. JJ, I don't know if you have. But, hey, why? It's just Jacksonville. Let's stick them in Germany. It's just Jacksonville. Let's stick them in Brazil. Okay? I hope it doesn't happen. Pray it doesn't happen. But I can't be the only one out there that's like, enough is enough is enough. Maybe that's why they're talking about getting this Trevor Lawrence deal done early. Christ, I'm so bothered by this. I don't even know who the quarterback of the Jaguars is. Okay? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me to get this deal done now. Make him play year four for 11-7. Make him start turning the football over. He's done it 70 times in 3 years. Okay? But maybe you want to send the message. Hey, get the deal done. Then I'll admit it would work. It would certainly influence voters. You say, hey, our guy's in, our quarterback's in, we're relevant. We believe in our staff. We believe in Sergeant Bulky. We believe in our players. We believe in it all. We believe in you. I tell you what we're going to do, people. We're going to tax the rich. We're going to feed the poor. Even Vice President in town today, I should have been there to speak for. We're going to tax the rich. We're going to feed the poor. And let me tell you something, Duval. We're going to work really hard. That's what we're going to do. We're going to work hard. Be any feedback on our plan to just go down outside of the stadium and put a shovel in the dirt? Has anyone got to us on that?
No. No one is against it. So I think we should go for it.
See all the great stuff that they do with our social media.
Yeah.
Me, O'Brien, and her staff. I mean, they're everywhere. I want them to get us. All I want is a hard hat and you and I and a shovel. Two hard hats, two shovels.
Maybe a ribbon cutting.
Mm-hmm. And just stick the shovel in the dirt. That's it. This is to try to show people that, hey,
we're starting.
You know, in our lifetime, they actually are going to be able to cross a T, dot an I, and get something built downtown. Because it just, I mean, it feels like politicians talking. We hear about it and hear about it and hear about it and nothing happens. So that's coming up next week as well. All right, I wanted to get to this. I kind of went off on a tangent because I'm looking out for you. It's not me. If the Jaguars go away, whatever, I'll still do a radio show. I can find plenty of stuff to talk. I look out for you. All right? Public funding is not what it once was. People have had it. And when you lose 5 out of 6 and you're playing games here and there in London all the time, people get pissed off about it. Someone needs to stand up. Besides me. Everyone's so worried you're going to get reprimanded. Everyone's so worried. Oh, my God, you can't do this. You can't say. Oh my. Yeah, well, if I'm not here tomorrow, you know why. There's no other reason. There's not another reason in the world. Okay? You know why. It has to change. They can't have it both ways. You want public money? Forget about London. You play games in Duval. All right, we got plenty to do tonight. 641-1010 is the best way for you to get on in. That is our text line, and it's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. I can see, I can hear, I can listen. But I tell you what, I see really well, and that's because of the good folks over at Schmunez Vision. Big fan. Huge fan. 20/20 I got, right? At times, possibly impaired. Sure. Hey, I don't drive. But maybe you're in a different category. Maybe you're like, hey, man, my eyes begin to go on me later in the evening, right? They start to disappear a little bit. I can't see street signs. I can't focus. You know, nowadays, everyone drives. You got one hand on the wheel. You got the other hand on your cell phone. You're like, yeah, I can't really see my cell phone. I think I could see the road, but that's secondary. I'm looking at my cell phone, and that's really hard to see. So how about laser eye surgery? Give you the ability to watch the road and your cell phone all at the same time. It's incredible. Nearsighted. Farsighted. Okay? Cataract, all of these issues, blurriness, all of these problems that you may have, eliminated with one visit at Schmunez Vision. It's as simple as that. Check them out online. Care you can see. The great folks at Schmunez Vision.
1010XL is presented by Farrah & Farrah, exclusive injury law firm of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Protecting you and your family. Call 396-5555. Jacksonville. Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
No place I'd rather be than Duval. That includes Boston, which I enjoyed seeing in the rearview mirror as I made the 24-hour track from there to God's country. Sad day in God's country. Rest in peace, Marcus Altson. My goodness, 46 years of age. So young. So young. Hurts my heart. Getting a lot of response on our text line. It's brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. This may be the most support I've ever seen. I'm getting all these truth teller references. I'm getting all of these spitting out facts. I'm doing it for you. I look out for you because I watch the way that you change, okay? All right? I go through your yearly, that's it. I'm not coming back. I'm not buying season tickets. You didn't fire Trent Baalke. I'm done. And then I watch it change into February and March and April, now into May. Now you're getting to the point now where you're begging for football. And it's fine. You're a fan. You're love to do it. I'm sure last night, a year ago, I would have gone crazy after the Bruins blew a game and lost to Toronto when they did it last year against the Florida Panthers. My pending divorce, right? I haven't weighed you down with Boston talk. You know, so I almost give you nothing anymore. They lose. I'm fine. I'm actually okay with it. I said, that's it. I cut the cord. Just can't do it anymore. But this is all you got. Right? I mean, you don't have a hockey team here. And best of luck tonight to the Icemen. But you know what I mean. You don't have an MLB team here. You don't have an NBA team here. You got a football team here. And you live by it. You love it. You sweat. You bleed with them. You cheer with them. You drink with them. You eat with them. And I got three examples here. In the last 3 weeks, Ohio, Illinois, and Missouri, they're saying no in Chicago, no in Cleveland, no in Kansas City. The vote's coming to you. I'm all going to be for yes. I want it. But I listen to you. And I think there has to be concessions. Okay. You want to tax me? I want my home games here. I want my games here. Roger Goodell's talking about an 18-game schedule. 2 preseason, 18 regular season, President's Day weekend. The great David Lamb mentioned this 20 years ago. Okay? Monday should be a holiday after the Super Bowl. Can't you just see the... You know, the gerbil running in place in the cage. 18 games. Maybe a month abroad. You know, we'll just We'll just take October off. 18. Something's got to be said. I don't know who's going to fight for it. I don't know who's going to stand up and say, yeah. Again, I'm not advocating not doing this. I want it. I want it for you. I want a brand new stadium, or I want a massive upgrade. No London. That's it. No London. Now, I saw it somewhere. You said you found it during the break. What do you have for us over there, JJ, with this home and away?
Yeah, this is from Jacksonville.com. Well, this is from CBS, and they're referencing Jacksonville.com. The Jaguars are expected to play back-to-back games in London this year, with one game coming as the home team and one coming as the visiting team. The Jags' home game will be played at Wembley against a currently unknown opponent, while their away game is expected to come against the Chicago Bears at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
One of my greatest memories of this franchise is my second ever time to Chicago in August of 98, that very hot day when Curtis Enos had the tap out because he was overweight. That was back before the rookie structured salary cap for rookies. He had to go to the local out of Jacksonville, and Leroy Butler and the Stonewall. It was like Yurko, and it was like Loggeman, and Kevin Hardy came up and gave him the big hat. You know, and I think, I'm trying to think who else was involved. Maybe Tom McManus gave him a punch in the chops. I don't know what happened. Maybe Beasley came up on a fight, and they stoned him at goal line. It was like 100-plus degrees. So if you were playing, let's take the trip. See, this is so frustrating. Hey, Mary, get the kids. Can we get a sitter? You know what? Let's go to Chicago for a weekend. Great American city. Let's go watch our Jags. It's going to be in Tottenham. Boy, let's go over there. That'll be a whole heck of a lot of fun. And, I legitimately feel for you on that. You got to fight it. Here's one. Well, if you do that, Blue, he'll just go to Orlando. Yeah. He's got that power. The man's worth over $12 billion. He has got that power. He can take it with him. He can. I like Shad Khan. I used to see him on the road all the time. He is a very good man. I like him. What I don't like is London. Okay? And I get the revenue stream and the 15% and all this and all that, but if you want it, okay, but we want this. It's bargaining. I mean, back in 98, there was two-a-days. Back in 98, they were hitting during the week. Back in 98, they were hitting in 100-degree temperatures. What did they do? They bargained it collectively. The collective bargaining agreement. The NFL Players Union was such a... they were a pack of morons. They really, a bunch of dunces. They got abused by the NFL. You know, it's like hearing about Elvis Presley or hearing about all these great rock stars who their manager took all the money. I mean, how can you be broke? You sold 40 million albums. It's because they didn't know what they were doing. They were spaced out on angel dust. The NFLPA was terrible. The baseball union was so rock solid. Well, guess what? You know what the NFLPA did? Manned up. Brought in some people with education. They bargained away hitting. They bargained away two-a-days. They brought into it voluntary. The word voluntary was never around. And changed for you, has it? It's changed for me. I missed the two-a-days. But it hadn't changed really for you. It's still the same thing, right? You play a game on Sunday. Just get them ready. Bargain. Going to take my tax money? Fine. Let's get rid of London. Simple. And, you know, I appreciate the effort with the spin. And I think that that'll come really from I wouldn't be surprised if Doug Peterson does that. Because in his mind, and if so, and he believes it, it's fair. He may think it's an advantage to be over there, play a game, stay, and play another game. Because you know Jacksonville is the only team in the universe who's going to have a home and away. So what does that mean? The other two teams are getting there, and they're going to have to acclimate to that setting. Advantage, Jacksonville. Ding! Hey, Baloo, right? Last year, they won both games in London. They sure did. So maybe this is a little bit of, hey, yeah, we're making more money, but guess what? Jag fans don't mind getting up at 6 a.m. for a game. Jag fans don't mind watching their team play twice at 9:30 a.m. after a college football Saturday. 9:30 a.m.? Mm-mm. Not for me. No way. But maybe for you. But you're going to get that. And that's actually supportive. It's a good point. So if you want to take that side of it, and if you're looking at it from a football-only side, right? Not a financial side, a football-only side. Maybe it is an advantage. Because both teams are going to roll in. You're going to be set. You're going to be ready. This team is going to be ready. But still, do you want it? You want it year in, year out? You want two games out there? I say absolutely no way. I do foresee 18 games. Okay, I mean, we went from 16 to 17. We're in year 3 of 17 games. We'll begin year 4 of 17 games. Preseason games are completely useless. So I love the 18-2. I wonder how much longer the regular season is going to be extended. They're going to add a second bye, right? We have one bye now. So you add an extra bye, but with two preseason games, does that mean camp begins later than it normally does? I could see coaches saying, well, if you're going to give us an extra game, we still need the same amount of time to get ready. That Super Bowl weekend is absolutely brilliant. It is incredible. And you know, Roger Goodell is also talking about playing a Super Bowl abroad. I mean, don't you just want to, I mean, they're going to take your Super Bowl and play it in another country? The Super Bowl. They're going to take it. They're going to take your Super Bowl and play it in a different country. I mean, how much more freaking money do these people need? When you take a Super Bowl and put it in another country, that's not for you. That's not for the great fans of the United States of America. It's for the 32 owners to get that. And that's business. I'd like to say I get it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But, I mean, could you imagine that? And for 99.9% of you, you're never going to go to a Super Bowl, you know, whether you play it in Germany or you play it in Greece or you play it wherever. Okay, it's still just a game. Is it really, though? I think that would be disgraceful, a Super Bowl being played somewhere else. Just my personal opinion on it. I don't like Major League Baseball open up in, what was it this year?
Korea? They seem to do that a lot, but it's the first game, not the last game. Big difference if we decided, you know, the Fall Classic, the World Series this year, taking place in Seoul, South Korea. Wake up at 6:45 today.
Here's the deal, is that when you hear stuff like this, they know. The NFL knows that they can literally do anything they want and that their fans are sheep. If you want to put a game in Paris, if you want to put the Super Bowl in Paris, as long as it comes on at a reasonable hour here, fans are going to be like, fine, no big deal, right? I mean, do you think anyone's going to be like, I'm not going to watch this year's Super Bowl because it's not being played in the United States? You think those people are out there? I remember the listeners tell me they weren't going to go to games during the whole kneeling situation. How long did that last? At times, I am a reminder of the truth. I mean, I try to spell it out each and every show. I do it through what I think you want to hear, the fan, and I listen to the fans. It's why I give you this text number as much as I do, 641-1010, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. It's why no one outside of JJ and I are as interactive with the listeners as we are. Because you teach me, and I appreciate what you say, but I just like I brought up the scenario in January, how you're not coming back, or you get, no, you're all coming back. You're all coming back. I listen to you with the kneeling. That's it. I'm done. You were pissed for a while. You're not done. The NFL's got you. They can do whatever they want. The NFL's going to play a game on Wednesday. Okay? I mean, the NFL's going to... And a lot of you are like, shut up, Baloo. That's great. We got Monday Night Football. We got Wednesday. We got Thursday. You know, I'm sure they'll stick in a Friday. We got Saturday. I mean, this is great. And I, you know what? It is great for the consumer. It's great for the diehard fan. But think about how coaches now are going to have to try to get guys ready for a Wednesday game. And what that does, what are coaches always about? Attention to detail. Doing things the right way. Being on time. Get involved in a system. You're going to put a... They hate Monday night football. They hate Thursday night football. You're going to drop a game now on Wednesday? You don't even have time to heal, so it can't be a Sunday, Wednesday. What's it going to be, a Thursday 1 week, a Wednesday the next week? Then a bye? I don't know. You like the idea of a Monday off after the Super Bowl?
It's supposed to be like, what, Memorial Day or
President's Day? It wouldn't affect you and I in our show.
No, I wouldn't get the day off.
Under the assumption that I'm still working
here. I never really understood that whole, like, people were clamoring for a day off. Like, the game starts at, like, 6 o'clock. It's over at 9:30. Like, you really need a day off the night? Like, our normal Sunday night games don't end until, like, 11:30, 12 at night.
No.
Like, NBC has a stand-up way later than the Super Bowl. I would love another day off for America, but Yeah, I never really got the whole we need a day off after the Super Bowl. The game's at like 5 o'clock.
Hey, be careful you don't say Super Bowl and Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
We may get fined by the National Football
the big
League.
Game.
Well, that's another thing they have.
If they cut it down to 2 preseason games and make it an 18-game schedule, I'd be fine with that. I love that. But I don't care about... You know, how many games? The London thing is what pisses me off here. And the fact that I know they're going to take our money as taxpayers and still take that game. And you know they will, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's ridiculous. Like, who's going to be the one to stand up and be like, no, you can't do that unless you promise to keep the games here? That's not going to happen. I don't even know who would. Is that the mayor's job? Is that... The fans' job? Is that the taxpayer? I don't know, but that's what's going to happen.
We'll see. I just tried. You just tried. Somebody just said I won't be here tomorrow. So,
well, you won't be there Monday through Friday next week, but it won't be because of your
maybe
comments
we can announce
tonight.
That as a suspension.
Yeah.
All right. I tell you what I'll do. Shame on me. When we come back. Jaguar fans, Rick Ballew is going to tell you the new Jaguar team jersey numbers, okay? I mean, this is something I've been so excited about coming out and telling you. Let's go over the new players' jerseys, okay? Because that's what you want. John Osher as well. He joins us at 7. All right, a couple of firsts here. Number one, I actually hit the post on time. Number two, I'm sure John Osher is shocked that I am actually ahead of time. I'm on Tom Coughlin time. Let's bring in the senior writer from Jaguars.com. What do you say, Johnny O?
Yeah, I got to admit, I was startled, Rick. I mean, I thought something was wrong.
Right? Yeah.
We actually went so far over that now. Yeah, early.
Yeah, we're a break behind. I forgot to mention that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right, let's get to the draft. Before we do that, the Zay thing, I thought maybe June 1st because they could recoup more money. I know no one was shocked by this, but because of the way that it was done, were you surprised by yesterday's release?
You know, I was, because maybe wishful thinking. I had sort of started thinking maybe they keep Zay as, you know, sort of insurance. Remember last year when Christian and Zay were both hurt, they really stumbled on offense. You know, you sort of need four go-to guys. I know they've got that, but I thought Zay gave them a little insurance. I sort of knew realistically with the cap, it was going to be tougher to make that happen. I liked Zay, enjoyed covering him. He always, really tried to help the media out, and I think he liked talking to the fans through us. The June 1st thing, they're really not tied up against this year's cap. So the June 1st thing really only splits the cap. You still got to pay it at some point. So I don't think it really mattered that much. They don't really need to save anything this year. It's going to go into one of the 2 years. So I think they just said, let's go ahead and eat it now if we're going to eat anything with it. I wish it was a different era where you could keep guys like Zay after you drafted Brian Thomas. But, it's been 30 years in the cap, and this is how it works.
So Brian Thomas enters day one as a starter opposite Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, and, of course, the return of Christian Kirk in the slot. Parker Washington, his feet wet a year ago. And, Devin Duvernay, does this now become almost like Jamal Agnew again? You look back at what he did in Detroit. 2 years ago in Baltimore, Duvernay caught more than 30 balls. Did not last year, but do you see him as a guy that could possibly be involved at receiver?
Well, my sense is maybe he's a little more pure receiver at times than Agnew, who had moments as a receiver, but he was sort of Swiss Army knife more than he was receiver. So maybe, if Jamal was a five as a receiver, maybe Duvernay is a six. But I think realistically, you want Kirk, Thomas, Davis to be your guys. You hope somebody steps up, mm-hmm. Maybe Jarvis Landry. I don't think Jarvis Landry coming to camp in a couple of weeks. That feels to me like it could be a Laquon Treadwell type who comes to camp and sticks, is what I mean. I don't think that's out of the question that he's a contributor. Remember, nowadays when you've got the practice squad to sort of get guys through, you can keep more guys and more veterans. It's really, what, a 59-man, 61-man roster more than it is 53. So guys like that can come on and off. Parker Washington, I would anticipate being practice squad at times next year because of numbers. So that's no longer a not on the team thing. That's more of a team B thing. So I think that'll come into play for some of these wide receivers.
Yeah, I look at Laquon Treadwell. I look at Philip Dorsett, Tavon Austin. There were guys that have been brought in here. We've talked a lot about them. Didn't get an awful lot from them. Almost more of an insurance policy than anything. Are you thinking that now when we get a chance to see Jarvis Landry in 11 days? Or have you heard anything that maybe he's got a little something left at the age of 31?
Well, I think if they knew he had something left, they'd be signing him, right? So I think they want to see what's left. Usually veteran comes in like that. I don't say unusual that he not be signed. Pretty good chance he'll get signed. I think what is more than anything, I would think it's insurance more than anything. But think about it. Last year went into the season, and the conventional wisdom was, hey, they're deep at receiver. Well, they really weren't. There were a lot of guys who looked good in camp and preseason. And then once Parker, I mean, once Christian Kirk and Zay Jones went out, watching them play late, like against Tampa, when they had guys out, boy, it looked like they had guys out. So I think you'd like to have a Jarvis Landry around who, hey, Jarvis, you may not play, you know, three or four games, but when it's time, we need you. And a guy who's done it a lot, is a lot, you know, you feel better about him stepping up than a guy who just has potential to do it. So it feels like it's addressing that. You know, once you go through something like that late in the season where you just sort of feel stagnant on offense without some guys, you don't want to live through it again as a coach or a GM.
John Osher, our guest, joins us Wednesday at 7 o'clock, senior writer at Jaguars.com. Get everything from John. If you missed any of his draft coverage, you can go back and certainly take a look at that as well. Trent Baalke, first round, moved back six spots, got his guy in the wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr., but also acquired three picks, including a third rounder, fourth rounder next year. Your thoughts on this move?
Well, I do believe, just being around it over the weekend, Brian Thomas was very much in consideration at 17. He was a name you were hearing. I think it's a good possibility they'd have taken him. I think they liked Terry and Arnold in that range, too. I think they were playing around with that name in case Brian Thomas was gone when they went to pick. This year was a funny draft because of COVID. Everybody you talked to, and you had draft analysts on, I'm sure you heard the same thing. Sixth and seventh round, the teams didn't feel great about this year. So it was going to be hard to trade a lot late for teams. But the feeling is that next year's draft could be back to normal and a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So to trade down, get a guy you want. Yes, it was great to pick up Robinson with that pick late. But having that third or fourth next year, it's one of the things I said over the weekend a lot. You don't think much about it when you pick up a third. Next year in April, they'll be liking that third. So I do think that was a good pick. And that's kind of Trent's MO. You know, he likes to pick out three or four guys that he likes and then sort of let people talk him out of taking that pick then. My understanding is 2 years in a row it's worked because I think they'd have taken both Harrison and Thomas with the pick they originally had.
Mm. Mason Smith, to me, becomes the immediate wild card here. And, I've read everything there is on him since the draft, and some say that it was too high of a pick. Others that, you know, the potential is unlimited if, in fact, he's focused and ready to go. What's your understanding there with their second overall selection?
Well, it's I hate to use luxury pick, but it felt a little like that in this sense. Every physical trait you've got, he performed at times when healthy at LSU. He had the ACL, but everything you hear from doctors about ACLs now, you know, unfortunately for you, Rick, you're as old as I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember when it was a debilitating career injury.
Oh, yeah.
It's really not anymore, especially when you get it 21 or 22 years old. So there's no reason to think it was 2022 he had it. You usually start getting back to 100% second year out. So there's really no medical reason to be concerned about the knee part of it. And from looking at him, from looking at his body type, at some point in the second round, if you're going to hit on guys and have them be stars, you sort of got to take a little bit of a chance. It's certainly Baalke's MO. He doesn't mind doing this. He did it with Walker Little a couple years back, take a guy who was injured. But, you know, the injuries haven't bitten Walker Little, really. I mean, the ACL that he came in with, that hasn't bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty safe if you like the player to go this route. I think it could make or break the draft. You know, I mean, if he's what he looks like, he's big time. So, as with every pick, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and those top three picks, I mean, Thomas is a day one starter. Jarian Jones could be your starting nickel or at least highly involved in what they're going to do there in their secondary. Then you plug in Mason Smith. I mean, contributions from those top three picks has to be what is expected right now with this football team. And if they all, you know, produce and play as well as expected, going to be totally opposite of what we saw a year ago with the top three picks.
Yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on Jones, because you certainly follow FSU more than I do. I talked to the defense coordinator there yesterday. Everything lines up with very quick production from him, meaning you know his story probably better than I do. You know, fifth-year guy, mm-hmm. So he's older, which usually means you're ready to come in. He's been through some adversity. He fought through some things, played better this year at nickel than he ever had. So the nickel's not easy to play because there's a lot going on in there. You know, the coach I talked to said played much better there, very aware. He could be – if you're going to play quick, you sort of like having an older guy to play quick because he's been through more and more physically ready to do it. I never say count on rookies to be great, but he's in line at the spot that he's at to be sort of a sneaky good pick, I guess you would say. What do you think of him, Rick?
Well, I tell you what, Adam Fuller, you know, they play that 4-2-5 defense. So, you know, he's a guy who's constantly in the nickel defense, and he played a lot of, man-to-man outside stuff at not man-to-man, but played some outside at Mississippi State. And then, you know, did all sorts of roles at Florida State, but you nailed it. He was a slot guy. He was a nickel guy. He was physical at the line of scrimmage. He had tackles behind the line of scrimmage. He forced a couple of fumbles. He had a huge game-winning saving interception against Miami. So, in his press conference at midnight or whenever it was maybe the highlight of the draft. If you look at the way that he handled himself and how he loves this city and everything, I put out a tweet. If he plays as well as his personality is, this man's going to be a massive hit in Duval if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to know him a little bit because that was, you can't fake his emotion with it. Again, it was Fuller I talked to, and he just said, hey, this kid really grew up a lot right before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess most coaches obviously are going to praise guys when you get them on the phone in our situation. But there was something about the way Fuller said it with, hey, this is a guy who really grew up. He asked him to change positions going into his senior year, basically. And he said that's a little bit of a risk for a guy to accept. You know, he trusted it. He did it for the good of the team. He excelled. And he may have struck gold in the sense that, you know, nickel now is becoming a starting NFL position. If you don't have a nickel, you know, outside guys don't play it as well. So maybe Fuller comes in and can really contribute right away. If so, it looks like a good first couple of days.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. We talked about wide receiver a little bit. Again, they don't address pass rush end until the seventh round. Got to believe that they're going to try to make a move there before camp. Jerry Jacobs, a corner, from Detroit the last 3 years. If he hasn't already visited, there's reports that he will visit Jacksonville. So it feels like Trent Baalke, corner, pass rush end, wide receiver, may not be done adding to this roster.
Yeah, and I think last year sort of showed, it's tough. Everybody says, well, you ignored it in the draft. Well, after the first round, it's really tough no matter what you're drafting to get dependable impact in the draft. So it sort of makes sense. You go after that in the first round, and then whatever needs you have left, you sort of pick it up in what you would call sort of bargain basement. They like Darby. They like Tyson Campbell, but neither one of those guys, played a full season healthy last year. So you would think the corner, if you get a versatile guy, a guy who can play a bunch of different spots and that you're not holding your breath for health on the outside, makes sense. What they'll do at pass rusher, you got to love the top two. Gibson had 8 sacks a couple years back. So I don't know that they're desperate on the outside at edge, but it felt during free agency like pushing the chips in more than last offseason. So it wouldn't surprise to see him go after it this offseason.
And you got to think that with Gibson a couple of years ago being with Bill Shuey, that they believe they can get something out of him.
Yeah, and, really that's pure bad. You got to love the top two. But at some point, Trayvon's played a lot of snaps his first 2 years, a lot. You don't want him having to play all your outside snaps. You'd rather have him get a breather if he can.
John Osher, ladies and gentlemen, get everything from John at Jaguars.com. He is their senior writer. John, thank you as always. We'll talk soon.
All right, Rick. We'll see you, buddy. Thanks.
There he goes. Good stuff. For those of you who do not know, Bill Shuey is the outside linebackers coach, and he survived, the firings of this past year, Mike Caldwell and company. He's been here for 2 years, been here in 2022, 2023. I say it often, one of the most disappointing days that I've had here since I've been covering this franchise when it came into existence was when I watched Trayvon Walker walk with Josh Allen to Bill Shuey. And I was saying, no, 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 put him at defensive end, no. And, of course, he was an outside linebacker. Now, that scheme is going to change this year under Ryan Nielsen. But he was with Gibson at Chicago, okay? He was with the Bears from 2018 through 2021 before he came over here to Jacksonville. So when you go out and get a guy like Trevis Gibson, who you don't hear mentioned all that much, and you know, I think it was yesterday Adam Kaplan told us that he's your fourth rush end. I still think you need a third guy, right? Now, we could sit around here and talk that maybe something's going to happen with their seventh-round draft pick, Miles Cole. Maybe something's going to happen with last year's draft pick, Yasir Abdullah, who had 45 snaps and was basically scratched for the last, I think he only played in the month of September. Might have gotten a little bit of burn in very early October, but that was basically it. They have to add another rusher. They have to. Okay? And, you know, Trent Baalke's done a nice job assembling this roster. He has. On paper, it's a better roster than it was when they lost to Tennessee. I miss Darius Williams. I'm going to have a little bit of an issue with that. You know, the Calvin Ridley deal, we can go back and forth and back and forth. They tried with Ridley. He got $50 million guaranteed from Tennessee. There's going to be a time, and I don't wish bad on anyone, but I just have a feeling there's going to be a time when we sit here and we talk about, boy, that didn't work. You know, all the money spent on Calvin Ridley, and it just did not work. I think that is coming. So, you know, Jerry Jacobs, by the way, corner. He was caught. This report came yesterday from KPRC2 in Houston. Aaron Wilson had it. A 26-year-old undrafted out of Arkansas back in 2021. He had 29 starts, 4 picks. He lost his starting job last year, and he was actually placed on injured reserve. But he's a young dude. He's only 26. Maybe a change of scenery could do him well. So I don't know if he's in town yet. I haven't seen anything else on it, but I love the fact that Trent Baalke's bringing these guys in. Why not? He's brought in a corner, and he's bringing in Jarvis Landry in 11 days. Love it. And hopefully he does the same thing with a pass rush end as well. All right, thank you to John Osher. Thank you to you as well. Always the best way to get us is on Twitter. That's Blue1010XL or on the text line 641-1010. Brought to you by Lifetime Enclosure.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Thank you to John Osher. Good stuff from Johnny. Jaguars.com. Big fan. So the quarterbacks are in. Most will be busts, right? That's just the way it is. I mean, look at when Trevor was selected in 2021. Look at the other first-rounders. Mac Jones now here. Do we need Mac Jones' number? I told you I'd give out numbers. Fun, happy. Let's see. Mac Jones will wear number 10. Did he wear that at Alabama? I don't know. I've never really been a numbers guy. But Armstead will wear 91, Darby 25. Gabe Davis is going to wear 0. You got to make plays, Gabe. You're going to put a zero on. I mean, after all, you're replacing Calvin Ridley. That's all he did was make plays wearing zero. Duvernay will wear 12, Gibson 50. I guess D'Ernest Johnson's now going to number 2. Mitch Morris, number 65 in the middle. Run right behind Mitch. Get lathered up. I can hear Frangie right now. 3rd and 1. The give is the 18. Runs behind Mitch Morris. First down, Jacksonville. Can't you feel it, JJ? I mean, this re-lathered up, tough offensive line, the wall of Duval.
That would be a hell of a call.
Patterson, 38, and Savage, 6. What a great name. Savage. Michael Savage. Dr. Savage. You read any of his books?
Michael Savage? No, but my dad used to listen to the Savage Nation every night. Like, after he'd pick me up from baseball practice or something, I had to listen to the Savage Nation religiously.
Have you read any of his books?
No, I haven't. I mean.
Pretty entertaining.
And by read, I mean he kept it on top of the toilet and never finished.
Oh.
Yeah. My father, not much of a reader, but he liked to, like, act like he was.
Okay. Okay. So, in 2021, you know, Trevor. Then you had Zach Wilson, flop. Trey Lance, flop. Justin Fields. I think the jury's still out. We'll see. And Mac Jones, who, for what it's worth, they think he can play. It, kind of the untold story with Mac Jones, after 5 injuries to Trevor Lawrence a year ago, if he goes down, this organization thinks they can win with Mac Jones. Win, regardless of the opponent, home and away. Here, London, Germany, Brazil, anywhere. East Coast, West Coast, Australia, okay, on the equator, okay, it doesn't matter. They think they can win with Mac Jones. They didn't pick up his $25 million option, but if he gets an opportunity, doesn't get an opportunity, I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see that he's around here for the next couple of years. They sign him to another deal. So anyway, that was 2021. We saw this year's draft class, and we'll see who ends up panning out. They're already speculating 5 potential number one picks next year and 5 first-round draft picks next year at quarterback. Carson Beck, of course, at Georgia, Jacksonville product. Quinn Ewers, who's keeping Archie Manning on the bench, right? Jalen Milroe, who, you know, got off to a rocky start, was benched. Came back. It'll be very interesting to see how he is going to grow this year, how things are going to change, if at all, with Nick Saban no longer being there, and it's now Kalen DeLoach. Shedeur Sanders, boy, that thing is on the cusp of just a total collapse.
It's like watching a car accident.
And Cam Ward, your guy. Cam Ward at Miami, they're talking about as a first-round pick.
I would have liked to see where, you know, because he was deciding on whether going to Miami or the draft, mm-hmm. and we had like 9 rounds with no quarterback taken. Yeah. I was interested to, you know, see where he would have fit in all that.
You know how when push comes to shove, I always take Deion's back. I'm in Florida State Nation, and so many of you have given up on him. And you no longer take him as yours, which I don't get. Because next to Bobby Bowden, I don't think anyone built that city, that stadium, and that fan base more than Deion Sanders. So I don't side with you there. He's a Knoll. And I know he said some stupid things. But my gosh, man, he's just spiraling completely out of control. I mean, what is this guy doing? I think he's going to turn into the prime example of like a Ted Williams, of like a Bart Starr, of like a
Schilling.
Well, not shooting because he didn't manage. I'm thinking about.
I thought you were just like hated by the media type.
Well,
guys.
Great players who you would assume would be really good. Magic Johnson tried, didn't work. Ted Williams. I mean, Deion Sanders is arguably the best cornerback of all time. The things that he says is got a direct, result to the players that he has. And, you know, the way he gutted that program, I think he showed late in the year that he made a lot of mistakes. You could really write the Deion Sanders story right now, and especially after his sons leave, that he's not for the long at Colorado. I just don't know if he's good enough to get himself one of these true blue blood jobs. If I've told you this, if Florida State had lost Mike Norvell to Alabama, I would have been all over the Lane train. To me, Lane Kiffin is 100 times better of a coach than Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders hasn't proved anything yet, and he's really starting to get himself in a lot of hot water with his mouth and with the things that he said. You don't do this to a kid in college, and your son should not do this to a kid in college. Even though times have changed with the NIL and with the transfer portal, you just kind of, if this guy's a scrub, you just take the high road. You know? Who? Take the high road. And I saw somewhere that after that tweet by his odds for the number one player drafted have already dropped in some offshore book or some Las Vegas book. So anyway, Deion, I'm always going to have you. I'm always going to push comes to shove. You know, I'm going to lean towards you. But in this case, man, you need to grow up, okay? You're a 50-something-year-old man who clearly needs to grow up. We got much more coming up right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
$34.95 says Deion is not trying to emulate anything. Why would he? He has more cachet than any of those other coaches you named. What coaches did I name?
That was from earlier today.
Is it?
Yeah, I was talking about Saban. I was just like, Saban and Kirby would never be on social media like talking smack to a Prairie View A&M player or, you know, asking some random Twitter user how many rings is his son going to win or what round is his son going to get drafted in. Like, just weird, petty, something that a teenage girl would do.
Hmm.
And this guy's like, well, he's got more cachet than Kirby or Nick Saban. What does he care? It's like, dude, what does cachet even have to do with anything?
Cachet. That's a great word.
And he spelled it wrong.
I'm a big Deion fan.
You spell it with a T at the end, you dumbass.
I'm a big Deion fan. I just want him to shut up. I mean, who cares about a guy who went to Austin Peay?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, move on. I got news for you. Go read Bleachers by John Grisham. I got news for you. And it happens in high school, and I'm sure it happens in college, and I'm sure it happens in the NFL. Okay? There are former players who despise their former coach. Position coach, coordinator, head coach, on and on and on and on. I've heard it from hundreds and hundreds. We had Herm Edwards on the other day. Talked with someone who was like, what a joke he was as a coach.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, just told it to be straight up.
Like as a college coach?
No.
At the end or in the NFL? Okay.
No. This is a conversation I had with a former NFL player. I remember the first time I heard this when I was actually, not one of the first times, but I was in L.A. Who was the guy? Was it Marty? Was it Schottenheimer? I don't want to throw out a name if it's not accurate. But he had a lengthy career, former USC player, a lengthy NFL career, primarily with one team and a well-established coach. Then he went somewhere else, and it was like literally night and day. Zero respect. These players, coaching means so much to these players. It really does. And the great players want to be coached hard. And, you know, today we're in a situation where you can't discipline, you can't yell, right? You can't raise your voice. I mean, that's going to end. That's going to end awfully for you. I mean, look at John Tortorella in Philadelphia. They didn't make it to the playoffs. They had a really bad team, but he benched his captain. I'm waiting for him to get fired any day now. Huge fan of Torts. I think he's phenomenal for the NHL. I'm telling you, probably going to lose his job because he went against the mass. We'll see if you hear what John Cooper said? I mean, you can't say this nowadays. He was talking about some penalties on the goaltending or something that happened, and his quote was, "We might as well put skirts on the goaltenders." And, oh, my God, he said that. Yes. And JJ, I mean, they lost 4-1 to the Florida Panthers. Right now, John Cooper, I mean, he is apologizing to anyone who will listen. He said put skirts on goaltenders. He, you know, who knows?
That's inferring that women shouldn't be playing hockey. Oh, my God.
Well, it happened.
Disgusting. Fire him instantly.
Yeah, I remember doing an interview with Jim Kick, the late Jim Kick, and Mercury Morris, the undefeated Miami Dolphins. And he said, well, if they didn't put a skirt on Tom Brady, I mean, can you imagine if Jim Kick, dig up Jim Kick and reprimand him. You can't say skirts. You can't do that anymore.
And also, we know nowadays everybody can wear a skirt, so it's...
Hell yeah, you can.
I actually was jogging today. I saw a guy walking his dog on the sidewalk with a kilt, but it was, what do you call it? Camouflage kilt. A camo kilt.
Okay. Walking like Roddy Piper kilt?
Yeah. On Southside Boulevard.
All right.
I don't know why I decided to bring that to the conversation.
I can deal with that. Where I'm from, these, you know, we used to have those huge St. Patrick's Day parties and parades. And you had all sorts of guys in kilts. It's tradition.
It looks comfortable.
In those big Irish cities. Yeah. Schools are the most players drafted. How about four? I haven't even bragged about this, man. I'm 3 days in. Florida State had 10 players drafted. I mean, that's just incredible. They had one drafted a year ago. One. And I want to say Jamie Robinson was like a fifth-round pick, maybe, when that actually did happen. So, I mean, 10 players drafted, and I'm not going to get ahead of it now because that would be foolish, but the thinking is they could have more than 10 next year if these players produce the way that they are expected to. They could have more than 10 in 1 year. Michigan had 13. Texas with 11. Alabama and Washington joined Florida State with 10. There wasn't anyone with 9. As far as 8 players drafted from a university, Georgia, Oregon, and Penn State. 7 was Notre Dame and USC. 6 was Clemson, LSU, and Missouri. So how about that? LSU, and obviously, you know, 3 of them came here to the Jaguars. 5 was Auburn and Utah. 4, Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisville, Miami, Ohio State, South Carolina, and Texas A&M. And once you get down to 3, let's see, well, a couple of notables I'll give you. Mississippi State, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Wake Forest. 2, Arkansas, BC, let's see, anyone else? NC State, UCF, UCLA, and Wisconsin, and then there were a whole bunch with one, including Florida. And that's basically it. Michigan State only had one.
Florida's was a first-rounder.
Yes, he was.
But, yeah. Man, imagine the Gators had one guy draft.
Because they had a bunch last year. I think they had 8 or 9 last year. Yeah, only one player drafted. Yeah. Miami had 4. Florida State had 10. So, certainly a year for Florida State where, you know, things got much better. And we'll see what ends up happening with them coming up next year. Really an opportunity, again, to have as many players drafted, if not more drafted. Okay, real quick, hockey. Last night we saw two teams advance. Carolina knocked off the New York Islanders, okay, 6-3. So they win that series in 5. Also last night, the Colorado Avalanche, they won on the road in Winnipeg, even though Winnipeg got off to an early 1-0 lead, like with less than a minute to go in the game. So they will advance into the final 8. Some series still going on, the Predators and the Canucks. Vancouver up 3-2 last night. The Predators, a 2-1 winner in Vancouver. And, of course, Toronto, an overtime victory, 2-1 over Boston. That series will go to a Game 6 as well. That'll be Thursday night back in Toronto. Coming up tonight, they are just underway in Dallas. Dallas had the best regular season record in the Western Conference. That series is tied at 2 between the defending Stanley Cup champions, Las Vegas. And again, they're underway in Dallas, all at 2 apiece. Edmonton right now looks absolutely insane. And I mean insane as in good. Really, really good. L.A. tonight in Edmonton, 3-1. The Oilers up in that best of 7. They will try to shut things down tonight. That'll begin coming up at 10 o'clock. All right, when we come back, let's put our final touches on this one. Hey, I'm already excited about tomorrow's show. Guest on from LSU out of Baton Rouge to talk about the 3 newest members of this football team drafted out of LSU. Damian Parsons is going to join us as well. We love talking to him from the Draft Network, one of our frequent guests leading up to the draft. We will get his post-draft analysis. That is coming up tomorrow night as well. And we'll take an early look at the Kentucky Derby, right? We'll do that with our good friend Rafael Esparza. He will join us from MyBookie and MyBookie.org. Take a look at the huge race coming up. And it always comes up the first Saturday in May.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, busy tonight as well in the NBA. Boston tonight and Miami. That's underway. Let's see, 4:26 to go in the first quarter. Boston up 21-16. Again, they can close that out at home just about through the first quarter there. Late night, it is Dallas in Los Angeles. That series locked up at 2 apiece. And locally, no score with the Icemen. They have played 20 minutes. So they'll try to close that out tonight after letting one get away. One night ago, it feels a little bit like not the end result of the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals, but what team did you say it feels like they play each and every time
you talk about the Icemen? The Everblades. The Florida Everblades, I think, have knocked out the Icemen like the last 3 years or something, Taylor Dahl said today. So, yeah, this is like the Yankees Red Sox of the EHL.
I know Taylor's there.
Oh, yeah.
She wouldn't miss it.
She spilled wine on herself already. I saw that.
Did she really?
Yes.
I always said Taylor pegged as a I've had cocktails with her before. I mean, she usually likes
mixed drinks.
Yeah, shots.
Yes.
Which I just can't do. You know, I mean, well, why would you want to just do shots? I mean, isn't drinking, if you are going to drink, isn't like kind of like the social aspect of it?
Like the fun part?
Right.
Yeah.
Unless you drink alone. Right?
That's fun to me, too.
you know.
I'll be drinking alone tonight watching the 10 p.m. game, that's for sure. My girl never is up for those.
That's some really bad, bad news here. I haven't checked the story yet, but I guess not a good day for Bally Sports.
Yeah, I don't have cable, so I guess it doesn't really affect me, but I just saw that Bally Sports is in I guess, dire straits.
Mm.
And Comcast is not broadcasting them anymore. And ironically, during a Braves broadcast today on Bally Sports, it was advertised by
Comcast.
Yeah. Even though it's not on Comcast anymore. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the MLB is going to just broadcast the games themselves, you know, if Bally's... Because I think this happened to another... one of these regional sports networks in Colorado last year or somewhere else in MLB.
San Diego, I remember
San Diego, yeah. And yeah. Basically MLB was just like, we'll air it ourselves.
No. So, anyway, that rolled in today, but apparently 33 states it'll span through. Hope for the best there. Hope they can get that taken care of. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you to John Osher. Appreciate all your comments. So don't check the text line out. The show is over. You can always get a hold of me on Twitter, Blue1010XL. Already fired about tomorrow night's show. Got a lot of great stuff scheduled. Much more on the Jaguars draft. And let's go to Baton Rouge. Learn about these new players drafted out of LSU by the Jaguars. That'll be tomorrow night. Hackers up next. For JJ LaSalva, I'm Rick Bully. We'll talk Thursday at 6.